Session number 17985, Reel 1.
Mr. Wilson, Reel 1, where were you born, please?
I was born just outside Wigan, about 3 miles outside Wigan.
Which year was this?
In 1921.
You grew up and have your education in the Wigan area?
I did, yes indeed, yes indeed.
How old were you when you left school?
14.
In 1935?
35. That's right.
Did you get a job?
Oh, yes, yes. I went to work with my father. Well, not with my father. My father was in charge of the administration of a steelworks that was being dismantled. So I went to work in his office when I was 14. And I stayed there for perhaps a year. And then I went to the Wigan Coal Corporation, which was part of the group, and went into the coal sales department. I detested office work, absolutely hated it.
So what job were you doing when war broke out?
I was doing that in sales department at the Wigan Coal Corporation. And I was glad to get away.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war?
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Because what had happened then, the war had been declared, and I could use the telephone switchboards. There were two there. One was on the post office telephone system, it had 8 lines, and the other one was on another private system that all the collieries were connected. And we had a lot of collieries. So I was asked, would I come and stay overnight there, so that if in case of air raids, I could maintain communications between the collieries, etc., etc. So I did, and 1 week I worked in the daytime, the other week I worked all night, 12 on, 12 off. And if I got air raid warnings, when I got air raid warnings read, I sounded the siren. I only got one of those. And evacuated the office and went to a sandbag building where I took control again to keep contact with the collieries, etc. Anyhow, that went on and on. And, I was anxious to get into the army, to get out of the office, to be honest. My father was in the Black Watch in the 1418 War, and I'd heard nothing but Black Watch from him. I think he'd have joined up with me. Unfortunately, he'd lost a leg in a works accident. However, I went to join the army, and I went to the recruiting office in Wigan. And Captain Johnson was the recruiting officer, and said I wanted to join Black Watch. And he said, well, I'm terribly sorry, I can't recruit you into Black Watch. I could recruit you into a young soldiers battalion of the Royal Welsh Fusiliers, I think it was. So I said, well, no, it must be the Black Watch. So I went home, and my father wrote to the CO of the depot in Perth, Colonel Holt it was then, and by return of post I got a letter saying, take this to the recruiting officer and tell him to recruit you. We want volunteers, etc., 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 with contacts with the regiment and what have you. So I went back to see Captain Johnson. He said, well, they say I can't, but your CO said I can, so I'm going to recruit you. So he did do.
This was in 1940, was it?
This was in 1940, October. October 1940. On the 17th of October, I was ordered to join to go to the depot there. In the meantime, I'd made a contact, a chap named Hamilton, who was a school teacher in Southport, and he was also joining. So we both travelled up to Perth together to join the army. We were met at Perth by a corporal who marched a great batch of us down, civilians, down to Blackwatch depot. But we were billeted in an old dye works, Shields Dye Works. And we were billeted on the second floor there. We were volunteer. The whole intake were volunteers. There were no conscripted men in it. The whole intake volunteer. We had a real motley throng. We'd several chaps from Eton. We'd several chaps from Harrow and Glenalmond and various other public schools. And lots of other chaps from all sorts of places. And a real mixture it was. But we were split up into little groups and squads, and we were given charge. Sergeant Skeen was our sergeant, and it was a jolly good time. We worked hard, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. To get away from the office, it was marvellous. Long route marches, 5 miles, then 12, then up to 20. Wonderful it was. Beautiful hills, beautiful. Oh, got a pipe band to meet you before you came back in. It was marvellous. And then during the training, early on in the training, we had a long intelligence test. All in one room, and all sorts of peculiar questions were asked on papers. And I got through it fairly quickly. I think I was the first one to finish. Anyway, I left. And a few days after that, the company commander, Leslie was his name, I think, Lieutenant Leslie, sent for me. And when I went in, he asked, would I be interested in taking a commission?
This was the 7th Battalion, was it?
No, this was in the depot. The train in the depot of the Black Watch. And he said I'd done extremely well in this test, and would I be interested? And I said, yes, I most certainly would. So then I was immediately sent into the potential officer squad. Freddie Hamilton, who'd gone up with me, had already gone into the potential officer squad. So there we are. We got rather specialised training there, and it was a little easier, possibly, than the ordinary squad. And they were awfully nice chap. I remember the barrack room was always great fun. We'd only three boards on two little tiny trestles and straw palliasses. And we had a gramophone. Mood Indigo was the record. It was played constantly, this thing. And we all seemed to get on extremely well. We were absolutely marvellous. Thoroughly enjoyed myself. I really, truly did. Sad at leaving home, initially. But by and large, it was great. I'd do it again tomorrow. And
what was your next step?
The next step was being sent off I was sent to Sandhurst. And I was Lance Corporal then. And I went down to Sandhurst with a corporal called Hugh Cowan. And with a long, long trip of bombing, etc., getting down to Camberley, we eventually got there. And it was 9 o'clock at night when we got in. And Cowan and I went in. We were met by a Sergeant Major, Scots Guards. Liddell was his name. And we duly stood to attention and reported to the Sergeant Major. And he said, he astounded us by saying, well, gentlemen, you're wanting something to eat, sir. We were called sir. And that was it. Absolutely flummoxed. However, he got us something to eat, fitted up with accommodation. And in due course, our training started. And it was good and it was great and I enjoyed it. I was billeted in a room with two other chaps. A chap named Williams, who was a school teacher, and another amazing chap, also named Wilson, C.A.W. Wilson. He'd been a company sergeant major with the King's Royal Rifles, and he was actually Anthony Eden's company sergeant major. And surprisingly enough, he ought to have been given an immediate commission, but apparently the wrong forms were filled in, and he was sent to Sandhurst to do his officer training with us. And the three of us shared a room.
Are we in 1941 now?
This was 1941.
The early part of 1941.
The early part of 1941. And it was a great place, Sandhurst. Everything was run very, very well. We had band evenings on Wednesdays, and we had Batman. Batman used to look after us, three of us, and clean us up and tied us. And we used to get a weekend leave, not many in the course, and we depended on Wilson, the other Wilson, being a long-serving soldier, to get us up in the morning. Well, Wilson went away on a long weekend leave. And on the Monday morning, the first thing Williams and I realised was a voice shouting, "Well, on parade!" We shot to the window, and there they were. We dressed without shaving, rushed down, reported to platoon commander, and said, "Name will be in the book. Name will be in the book." We joined the platoon, and off we went. In due course, our cases came up. And we both had to be marched in before the company commander. He was an awfully nice chap, Major Johnson. He was from the Loyals, my company commander there. And an amazing situation. I'd been marched in like a criminal, stood in front of Major Johnson, and he put his monocle in. We explained what had happened, that we depended on Wilson getting us up, and he'd gone away, and he listened to us, and then said to me, "Well, you'll be, in a 2 or 3 weeks' time, you'll probably be trying cases like this. What would your punishment be?" And I said, "Well, I considered the circumstances sort of extenuating, and I think an admonishment, sir." And he put his monocle in his eye and said, "Well, Wilson, you're not going to be admonished. Three punishment drills, you see." Now, punishment drill was on Wednesday afternoons and Saturdays. And you had a sergeant major all to yourself. Williams got exactly the same, but he played cricket for Sandhurst. So on Saturdays he was playing cricket, so he executed his punishment drill. And on Wednesday he didn't do them. I did all three. And I had a Welsh Guard sergeant major all to myself, marching me up and down the square at Sandhurst. And my friends had their girlfriends down. They'd sit on the grass roundabout. And the sergeant major would march me up to almost into them and then give me marked time. And they would all start saying, "God, he's a smart soldier, this chap, etc." And eventually I had to smile. The sergeant major couldn't see me. He was 50 yards away. But he knew. And his voice used to roar, "It's no laughing matter, sir. You ought to be ashamed of yourself." About turn and back again. Three times I did that. However, we also, whilst we were there, we had a great dance. A dance was organised, the Military College dance. And my platoon commander then, a chap from the Suffolk, he was an awfully nice chap, he and his girlfriend had an idea that they'd dress. I was very young. I was only about 19 and just turning 20, and very young looking. So they dressed me up as a young lady. Wigs, in those days, 40 guinea Paris model. I remember the girl saying, "For God's sake, look, it cost me 40 guineas, that dress," etc. And I was all made up and sorted out and went to the ball with them. And the only two other people who knew about it were Williams and Wilson, who were in my room, you see. And we had this wonderful ball. And I was in the box with all the company command and all the officers. And it was, I had to try and they asked me to dance. I was known as Miss Jill Wilson. And they asked me to dance, and if you ever tried going backwards, it's grim, it was, but I pretended to be a little shy, etc., etc., you know. I danced with Major Johnson. Ah! And when we were on the floor, Wilson and Williams were dancing by, and every time they went past me, they used to give me a big wink. However, I stayed for some time, had a few drinks and what have you, and then I better get out of this. So I tootled off and I went up to the main entrance, and there were two sentries on the front, you know, very polite. They came up to attention, sort of didn't know what to say about this woman. And they just looked at me, and I walked up the steps. And then I shoved my head in the guard room, which was top of the steps on the left, you see. They were all lying in there and on their beds. God, they all jumped up, etc. And, you know, and I said, "It's okay, it's only me." And I lifted my corner of the wig. And then I went in up to sleeping quarters, and there was a little chap there, very, very shy. And I give a tap on his room door, and he said, come in. He was in bed, and I went in, and God, he nearly had a fit. Anyway, I relieved him by... And this went on, and then it was very, very funny. And then the final meeting before we left, it was arranged, people gave turns on the stage and all the rest of it, and I was brought on as the cadet who flew with the Royal Military College. And they were asking questions, what did the company commander say to you when you were dancing? Oh, he used to make all sorts of things up, you know. And I saw Major Johnson before I left. He was, as I say, company commander. He was leaving then to take command of a battalion of the Loyal North Lancashire Regiment. And he said, any time I was with any distance of his battalion, to come and see him, he'd be glad to welcome me, etc., etc. I'd been interviewed previously by Colonel Scots Guards, who was interviewing candidates for Black Watch. And my father being Black Watch, etc., and he said to me, you go right ahead and order your uniform, you'll be going to Black Watch. So I duly ordered my uniform from Berman's in Camberley, on the understanding that if I didn't get my regiment, they'd change it at their expense. And if when the postings came out, I was posted to Lancashire Fusiliers. Tried to go back to Berman's and get a new set of uniform, you see. And that's how I came to join Lancashire Fusiliers.
So you were an officer in the Lancashire Fusiliers?
I was commissioned, I was commissioned Lancashire Fusiliers. And I went to the depot of the Lancashire Fusiliers at Willington Barracks. And
when is this?
That would be 1941.
Do you know the month?
Yes, it'd be about June 1941. And then I was there about a week or so, I think, not doing anything much. I was billeted out in a private house. And then I was posted to Aintree on the race course. We lived, had our meals. I lived in a pub at the entrance to Aintree, a little room there. It was an amazing thing. At night, trams used to come, and a great detachment of us used to get into these trams, and we'd drive to the docks around Bootle. And if there was an air raid, we had to go right to the tops of these warehouses to shovel in sentry bombs over the side. It was a rough place. I did that for about 2 or 3 weeks, and there weren't many air raids whilst I was there. The worst one, funnily enough, I was on day off and I was at home in Wigan. I was watching the shells going up from Wigan.
What was public morale like in Liverpool under the bombing?
Well, in Bootle it was rough. These policemen used to walk around in twos, and when I had to get the chaps in, they could go out and have a drink when they were there, but by 9 o'clock they all had to be in the warehouses, and we used to go around, the sergeant and I would go around making sure everybody was in, you know. And the people used to be on the doorstep, some of the women used to shout to us, why don't you take a whip to them? Yeah, we were just getting them in, you know. Oh, it was a rough area.
Take a whip to whom?
To the troops. So we come on, it's time to go in now, etc. The sergeant and I were jollying everybody. And these women used to be on the doorstep shouting, why don't you take a whip to them?
Was this in a joking way?
Or? In a joking way, I suppose, with Tim.
But
people were all right. They were fine.
Was their morale standing?
Oh yes, they were happy enough and jolly, and they were friendly enough by and large. But
how much damage was being done in the Liverpool docks area?
Oh, there quite a lot had been done then. Yeah.
Was it frightening?
Everyone?
Was it frightening?
It was frightening. There were great ropes hanging from arms, but the idea was if you got stuck on the top, you'd go down these ropes. I never had to, thank God, but that's what happened.
And were you with a battalion?
No, I was just on a detachment. There were Lancashire Fusilier troops, there were other troops there as well. And then after about 3 or 4 weeks there, I was ordered back to Wellington Barracks and told I was joining the 11th Lancashire Fusiliers. and they were in Duns in Berwickshire. So a great party of us went up there, a couple of hundred or more, I think, and we marched out of Wellington Barracks with the band playing, and the band played us down to the station, a special train. Very, very, very... it's inspiring, the band, And off we went up to Duns in Berwickshire. And the following day, we marched down to the station in Duns in Berwickshire in a special train, which took us back on a week's embarkation leave.
Which month is this now?
I'm talking now about July. About end of June, July. And we eventually had our leave and went back to Duns. And then we were taken to, I think it was Greenock. Am I 100%? Greenock or Gurrock? And we were taken out in a tender to a great liner. And the liner was called the Louis Pasteur. French luxury, beautiful ship. And we joined the ship there, the 11 Flanks Fusiliers. Oh, nice crowd of chaps, they really were. My very, very comfortable, very happy with them. They were all a lot older than me. I was just turning 20, you see. And off we sailed way out into the Mediterranean, and it was luxury. The liner was like peacetime. Food was magnificent. You could get your hair cut and everything on it. It was great. And then we eventually put into Gibraltar. We filed off the ship into Gibraltar, along the docks, onto the cruiser Edinburgh. And then we learned where we were going to go, Malta. And the Edinburgh then left Gibraltar, and I gather it sailed out into the Atlantic. And then the idea was to come through the straits at Gibraltar in the dark. And we duly went through into the Mediterranean in the Greek convoy, which was very big. The first convoy through the Mediterranean since, I think it was since the fall of France. There were a lot of ships in the convoy. Two cruisers, the Edinburgh and the Manchester. Destroyers. Terrific. And off we sailed into the Mediterranean. And on the Edinburgh, the battalion sort of split up. You did so many hours on deck and so many hours battened down below. And I preferred being on deck all the time. All the battalion's Bren guns were mounted on Akak and all the rest of it. And then the bombing started. High-level bombing, low-level bombing, torpedoes bombing, submarines reporting, God knows what not. And the battle commenced. I was on deck during my spell there when I saw a destroyer, the Firefly, I'm almost certain of Firefly, the name of it, get hit and blow up. The Manchester was torpedoed. I didn't see that. But it ran ashore in Spain, and I believe the rumour had it that the Manchester's officers made very welcome the Spanish authorities and got them sozzled. In the meantime, the Manchester was towed off and taken back to Gibraltar. The King's Own were on the Manchester, and they lost 17 officers there. I gather a torpedo hit the ship and then shot up into the wardroom and killed 17 King's Own officers.
King's Own what?
King's Own Regiment. King's Own Liverpool, I think it was. And we battled on there. I can remember one of my periods on the deck being taken round the ship by the midshipmen. There were so many officers on the ship that I couldn't eat in the wardroom, so I had to eat with the midshipmen. I was the youngest subaltern, so I had to eat with the midshipmen in the gunroom. And they were very nice, delightful people, they really were. And I was taken on a tour of the ship and down to where the helmsman was down below with his speaking tubes coming down and the quartermaster, I think they called him, the helmsman. And he said, would you like to steer the ship, sir? And I said, yes. So I held the steering wheel for 4 or 5 minutes, that's all. And he said, well, you can now say that you steered the Edinburgh when she was in action. And it was great. You were on deck, you could see what was happening. But when the turn came to be battened down, all the watertight doors were closed, and we all knew that if we were hit, we more or less had it. It was hair-raising, you know. But a wonderful man was there, and he was broadcasting all the time the things that were happening, and you'd be battened down below, and you'd hear this chap saying, the torpedo bombers now reported they're coming in. All guns red. The torpedo, yes, they're coming in now, They're diving into the tank. Torpedoes released. And then you'd feel the Edinburgh heel over. And the noise with the guns fired. God, it was frightening, it really was. I'd just sit there and pretend it wasn't to me. However, I was very glad to get to Malta. And we only got to Malta just in time. The boom dropped and then an attack by E-boats came, but they couldn't get into the Grand Harbour. But it was very terrifying. So I've had the experience of war at sea, which is quite something.
When did you arrive in Malta, approximately?
Arrived in Malta, that would be about the middle of July. And I stayed in Malta after that for, 2.5 years. I saw all the bombing and I was stationed in various places in Malta, Amroon, Burkakara, St. Julian's Bay, Sliema. We used to do all sorts of odd jobbery, onto the airport at Lucca, filling in rubble with rubble, bomb craters. I actually lived on Lucca for a long time in a quarry. And I had my food in the RAF mess. It was good too, it was, they were well fed. Rather better than we were.
What do you mean? Where were you living in the quarry?
We were living in a hut in a quarry. On company detachment. Derek List was company commander. Absolutely terrific. My company commander. He got an MC there on Lucca.
Which company were you in?
I was in C Company. Derek List was CO. Company commander, rather. And again, when the air raids were on, we mounted Bren guns and had a bash at some of the bombers. But Derek Lister was doing it one day, and Keith Parks, the air marshal he was, went by and spotted Derek Lister. He got an MC. Nice chap, Parks. He picked me up many a time going over to the Oxford Mess in Malta, in a little sports car. Not New Zealander, he was. Very delightful man. And we stayed in Malta.
Were you a platoon commander?
I was platoon commander, yeah.
Which platoon did you have?
15. C Company. Best platoon in the... Well, I thought so. They looked after me. They were a lot older than me. They really did look after me.
What were rations like during the Siege of Malta?
Oh, pretty grim. So, God, yes. I can remember being on platoon detachment and getting the rations and cutting the bread and saying to the chap,